Our opening words this morning are by the Reverend Catherine McTeague. We come together this morning to remind one another to rest for a moment on the forming edge of our lives, to resist the headlong tumble into the next moment until we claim for ourselves awareness and gratitude, taking the time to look into one another's faces and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes. This house of laughter and silence, memory and hope, is hallowed by our presence together. Peter will light the chalice this morning that this all may be so. Please join me. Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage inclusiveness, exclusiveness, being especially privileged.
Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies.
Some beliefs are like shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities.
Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness.
Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies.
Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern.
Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction.
Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration.
Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness.
Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth.
Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world.
Other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life.
Because I go to church, many people think I must be Christian. This is a good conversation opener, often resulting in a lot of head scratching. In fact, I will confess to a lot of head-scratching of my own when I first attended the Unitarian service in Vancouver. Coming from an Anglican background, I'd never been in a church that looked quite like that. I wondered where the cross was, what the creed was, who the God was. It took me a while to get comfortable with the idea that these questions were up to me to answer for myself. And then someone started talking about humanists. What were they? A different flavor of Unitarian? Maybe I was one of them. And what did people mean when they talked about spirituality? Maybe that fit me too. Needless to say, I eventually navigated my way around all those questions, or at least got more comfortable with the ambiguity. When I was a lay chaplain, I had the opportunity to talk to many people about the shape their fundamental belief structures took. I inquired so that I could help them reflect those beliefs in their ceremonies. Some people wanted prayer, biblical readings, God language, and others most definitely did not. Most commonly, people would tell me that they were spiritual but not religious. What a wonderful phrase. We even have an acronym for it now, SBNR, one of the fastest growing religious movements in the continent. Oh, but wait, it's a not religious movement. The other fast growing movement is the nuns. Those are the people who tick the box marked none when asked for their religion. On further questioning of my clients, each person would have a different explanation of what SBNR meant to them. Some had their own idea of a god. Some had traditionally religious views, but didn't want to affiliate themselves with an organized church. Some were focused on the blessings of nature. The mystery of the ocean figures large in many people's spirituality. And a great number of people would respond that they felt it mattered more how they lived their lives than what they believed. More often than not, that humanist identity emerged. As a Unitarian Universalist, I have a great deal of difficulty considering all these spiritual foundations to be not religious. I would consider any one of them to be spiritual and religious, but just not perhaps the common definition of religious. So many of these people would have fit quite neatly into our UU congregations. I call them pre-Unitarians. They just haven't discovered us yet. But by calling on a UU lay chaplain when they wanted to mark a peak event in their lives, they were turning to the light.
Thank you, Farrell and Penny. Thank you, Victoria, for the gift of Beethoven. I often say that I was unchurched, but the truth is that Mom and Dad met in the United Church and were active until I was about 6 and my brother was about 5. We had a liberal upbringing in many respects, and I am arguably a good and moral person, despite having no fear of any gods. I was about 25 when I read the definition of secular humanist, and I decided that I was one of those. When I became a Unitarian in my early 30s at Kingston Unitarian Fellowship, I did not have to change my thinking about anything because it turned out that I was already essentially a Unitarian. I just didn't know the hymns and readings yet. The mission statement of this church includes the phrases, energized by diversity, we strive to transform ourselves and the world. Today's talk addresses some of the diversity of belief within this congregation. But as the Reverend Stephen Atkinson recently alluded in Ottawa, we Unitarian Universalists do not go in for transforming ourselves, and we have little impact on the world at large. We tend to be attracted to Unitarian Universalism because the 7 principles and 6 sources are already how we feel. We give strength to the principles and sources that we like, and we ignore the ones that we don't like. Do you know where the principles and sources are in this hymnal? If you've never seen them before, they're inside the hymnal. And I find every now and then it's instructive to look at the wording. In the page just after the preface, and it says, in capitals, we, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote. And then it goes on and on and on with things that we agree on and things that we don't agree on. And one of the sources, the last source in this version, humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against the idolatries of the mind and spirit. Sounds like some people haven't seen that one before. Some idolatries of the mind and spirit are good if you're a Maple Leafs fan. And others are clearly, well, wrong. Let me talk a little bit about definitions. What is humanism? The first principle of Unitarian Universalism is that member congregations affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This does not exclude people who believe in gods or in the earth as our mother. Our first principle opens the door to humanism. So you can be, I'm giving away the punchline right now, this is a home for humanists, as well as other people. Humanism, as I read it, is a progressive philosophy that without supernaturalism affirms our ability and our responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. The life stance of humanism, is that me? Guided by reason, inspired by compassion, and informed by experience, encourages us to live life well and fully. In this respect, I'm reading directly from the Humanist Manifesto. Humanism evolved through ages and continues to develop through the efforts of thoughtful people who recognize that values and ideals however carefully wrought, are subject to change as our knowledge and understanding advance. And that's why the source in our hymnal says, the results of science, among other things. Knowledge of the world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. Humanists find that science is the best method for determining this knowledge, as well as for solving problems and developing beneficial technologies. It helps to pray sometimes if the Seahawks are down 7 points and there's only 3 minutes left. We also recognize the value of new departures in thought, the arts, and inner experience, each subject to analysis by critical intelligence. I also feel that humans are an integral part of nature, the result of unguided evolutionary change. I am not apart from nature. You are not apart from nature. Well, you may choose to be apart from nature. We are all part of nature. And that's part of humanism. Humanists recognize nature as self-existing. We accept our life as all and enough, distinguishing things as they are from things as we might wish or imagine them to be. We welcome the challenges of the future and are drawn to and undaunted by the yet to be known. Humans are social by nature, and we find meaning by relationships. Humanists long for and strive toward a world of mutual care and concern, free of cruelty and its consequences, where differences are resolved cooperatively without resorting to violence. The joining of individuality and interdependence enriches our lives, encourages us to enrich the lives of others, and inspires hope of attaining peace, justice, and opportunity for all. Thus engaged in the flow of life, we aspire to this vision with the informed conviction that humanity has the ability to progress towards its highest ideals. The Humanist Manifesto goes on, "The responsibility for our lives and the kind of world in which we live is ours. The responsibility is ours, not some supernatural being." Unless the Seahawks are down by 7 points. Humanists, or let me say many humanists, are uneasy with spiritual magic and the idea that gods are directing and observing human or global events. Humanists tend to see the world with a sense of what you see is what you get. That this life is the only life you get. There is nothing afterward except your body's return to matter and energy. One phrase I've heard is that this life, that some Unitarian said, this life is not a dress rehearsal for some future life. You need to get it right this time. I will draw a definition of humanism towards a Unitarian Universalist focus. There was an article that is easy to find if you Google, "Welcoming Unitarian Universalists Home to Humanism." Was written by the American Humanist Association president, saying, "You Unitarians, you have to do something else on Sunday morning. You've got to come back to humanism." He wrote that Unitarian Universalism is famously tolerant of differing points of view when it comes to religion, including a historical acceptance of atheists and agnostics after moving away from a Christian-based theology over a century ago. "It isn't uncommon for many congregations to be made up of a majority of non-theists of various stripes, and I love pre-Unitarians. But what has been happening over the past 20 or 30 years is a failure to maintain reason as a guiding principle. Instead, the often laudable efforts of Unitarians to be all-inclusive has become so dominant that in many congregations, Unitarian Universalist identity has become so vague as to be insubstantial. This is due somewhat to late 20th century postmodernism that Unitarian Universalists and many others have found so attractive. But the everyone creates their own truth idea that is the core of postmodernism has failed. And by hanging on to it, many Unitarian leaders and congregations are failing too." I mentioned a few moments ago about the Reverend Stephen Atkinson. He gave the Confluence Lecture at the Canadian Unitarian Gathering a month ago in Ottawa. I encourage you to read his text or listen to his audio, which is available on the CUC website. and he talks about exactly this. Humanistic Judaism offers Jewish humanists and cultural Jews a positive Jewish experience through communities that blend the celebration of Jewish culture with the values of humanism. I read a comment online by Gentlewoman. This person uses the handle Gentlewoman, who had worked in hospital and hospice chaplains. She wrote that religious and skeptical humanism are optimistic movements full of hope and enthusiasm. They attract large numbers of young people who learn all the classic virtues and practice them in the world, only they don't have a theological or spiritual, whatever that means, overlay. Gentlewoman would have us believe that you need to have a spiritual overlay or a God, otherwise you're adrift. Many of us in this room, indeed many in British Columbia, live with essentially humanistic ideals about how to live and how to be in community with others. So those are a few words about what humanism is. Let me tell you what I think humanism is not. Modern humanism is not Renaissance humanism. Renaissance humanism means standing for devotion to the literature of ancient Greece and Rome and the humane values that may be derived from them. We had an interesting moment at Capital Unitarian Congregation downtown a few years ago when the University of Victoria, you can get speakers from the University of Victoria if you book far enough in advance. And I saw, someone who speaks on humanism. Excellent. So she sat through the first half hour of Joys and Concerns and offering and all our words and our hymns, and she stood up to give her talk, and her face was sort of blank, and she said, "The humanism I'm about to talk about is not the humanism you people are talking about completely." Anyhow, it was really interesting about Renaissance humanism. It had nothing to do with Unitarianism. If you imagine that the material world is the opposite of the transcendent spirit world, then modern humanism is not transcendentalism. Transcendentalism is a broad category to include beliefs that something besides matter and energy, let's call it consciousness or God, undergirds material existence. This has been the claim of so-called mystics from all religions and spiritual paths, from all time, places, and cultures. There are a lot of early Unitarian writings from 150, 160 years ago, which are transcendentalist, and they are the forerunners of what many of us believe Unitarianism is today. Just read some of the old hymn books that are in the library here at the church, and you'll see Unitarian sermons that would just shake you. I want to claim also that humanism is not atheism and is not agnosticism. I like the story of a city council meeting recently. Council and the citizens were going to be discussing an issue of social concern. The mayor acknowledged Rabbi Cohen in the audience. The man next to the rabbi leaned over and whispered, "I don't believe in God." The rabbi replied, "I don't believe in the God that you don't believe in either." The new atheist movement has been gaining a lot of traction, hardly the new atheist movement, it's about 20 years now. And what most people complain about in the new atheist movement is a strong anti-theist rhetoric. That rhetoric is a direct response to and rejection of the pervasiveness of the literal truth of the Bible in our society. So the new atheist movement has helped galvanize a lot of the SBNRs that Liz talked about. They're spiritual but not religious, and they don't want to say they're atheists because they're not Daniel Dennett and they're not Christopher Hitchens and they're not others. So that humanist atheist thing, I hope I'm not throwing out too much here, but it gives you something to Google when you get home or as you're driving home. No. So I've talked about what humanism is and what it is not. I've been reflecting on those definitions, and I want to say a few words about what humanism is to me. Pluralism is one word to describe holding two belief systems. In my view, there is room for pluralism. People can be humanist and Jewish, humanist and Hindu, humanist and atheist, humanist and Christian. It's not all or nothing, but it is. Humanism is people before gods. In my mind, people who act today in such a way as to improve their chances in heaven are essentially not humanists. they might be 80% humanist. I think that the Confucian maxim, which most Canadians know as the golden rule, one should treat others as one would like to treat oneself, like others to treat themselves, is inessentially humanistic because it does not say, because God says so. In the Torah, in Leviticus, a version of the golden rule says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against your kinsfolk. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the next line is, I am the Lord. And this ensures that this statement is not humanistic. You may have heard of the platinum rule. Viennese philosopher Karl Popper wrote, the golden rule is a good standard, which is further improved by doing unto others, wherever reasonable, as they want to be done by. I believe that our Unitarian seven principles can guide us toward humanism, while also leave plenty of space for spiritual searching. In the end, each of us needs to live the life that works for us in our hearts and minds. Let me repeat a phrase I spoke earlier from the Humanist Manifesto. The life stance of humanism, guided by reason, inspired by compassion, and informed by experience, encourages us to live life well and fully. If your strivings and meditations lead you to a god or many gods, and you are still able to live in society and peace, then I embrace you with all of your pluralistic and hyphenated humanism. In the service blurb, in the advertising, I asked if First Unitarian could be a religious home for humanists. What would a religious home for humanists look like? There are two kinds of religious home, maybe three kinds of religious home. In one kind of religious home, the people at the front of the room tell the people in the chairs what to believe. If the people in the chairs accept what the people at the front are dictating, then it's their religious home. The other kind of religious home is where the people in the chairs hold and modify their own beliefs, and where they are free to do so. The people in the chairs listen to the people at the front, accepting some of the information and rejecting others. I think that's where we are. I have described what humanism is and is not, and talked about what a religious home might look like. So, is First Unitarian a home for humanists? Yes. Yes, without a doubt. This congregation is not just a home for Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, pagans, Wiccans, atheists, and agnostics. And I'm sure I've left out some of your hyphens. But in some ways, it is more so. In my mind, and some will likely disagree, Unitarian Universalism is primarily a home for humanists. Hyphenated humanists also find themselves at home here. I'll wrap up there. I encourage you to think about and Google the terms that you think you like. If you have not already gone to the beliefnet.org page and done the Beliefomatic quiz, 20-question quiz, answer the questions in the quiz, and it will tell you what religion most closely maps who you think you are. That's how many of us got here. By looking up, humanism is on. Somebody better check. It's a Christian website, but it sent so many people to Unitarianism. BeliefNet, or search for belief-omatic. Belief-omatic. Hyphenated humanists find themselves at home at First Unitarian Church of Victoria.
Our closing words are the words of Reverend Laura Lynn Bellamy. If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may become true. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Go in peace.